Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. Now it's time for the youth to go. If you follow Jesse right there to the youth room, everybody that wants to go, now's the time. Hey, you know, have you ever had anybody tell you to stay focused? Anybody? Yeah? I like participation, so it's all right. You know, if you're going to be successful in the natural and the spiritual, you've got to stay focused on the right things. You know, I don't know why some people have no focus or they lose their focus or something. But one thing I know, that if you're going to be successful, you have to stay focused on the right things. Yes. You know, Bill Gates said, you know who Bill Gates was? He was the founder of Microsoft. My success, part of it certainly is that I have focused on a few things. You know, if you want to be successful, then you've, in your Christian walk and in your natural life, you got to ignore some things and stay focused on some things. Some people blame everything for their lack of success, but more often than not, it is lack of focus. Zig Ziglar said, lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24 hours. You know, think about that. God gave us all the same time, but our question is, what do we do with it? You got to stay focused on the right things if you're going to produce any action. Now, sunlight during the day, it warms us up and it doesn't burn everything up. But if you take that same sunlight and you put it through a glass prism, it becomes an intense light beam because it's all focused on that one point and it'll start a fire. Anybody ever taken one of the prism glass like that and done that? Yeah. You see, it's a matter of the focus. We have the sunlight and it's all spread out. But whenever you get it, bring that one light down in that one focused area, then it produces heat that will start a fire. You know, how many of you have ever seen a person trying to do too many things at once? And they all, most of the time, they fail at all of them. You know, somebody said, you can't chase two rabbits at once. They'll both get away. You got to stay focused on one. You know, sometimes I ask people, what do you want to do with your life? And often, either they don't know or they don't have a clear idea. You know, until you get a focus on the purpose of life, you won't be successful, either naturally or spiritually. You got to be focused. You know, someone said that if you took each letter of the word focus, it would mean this: follow on course until successful. F-O-C-U-S. Follow on course until successful. That's a good, I don't know who said that. That's a good statement. You know, I want to give us a few things tonight that I think will help us with actually our Christian walk and our natural walk. With focus on your future and ignore your past. Philippians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." Now here Paul is saying that we have to focus on the future and not on the past. You know, some people are still living in the past. They moan about their past mistakes. They regret their missed opportunities. And they talk continually about their past successes. Well, like one guy said, what have you done lately? You know, you ever heard somebody talk about all their past successes, but what have they done lately? Yeah. Come on now. You know, it's good to, you know, when you're in playing sports, I played in high school, you know, you can talk about all the touchdown passes you caught last year, but the coach is not interested in that. He's interested in what are you going to do this year? You know, just because you did that last year, no sign that you're going to do it this year unless you stay focused. And many times you will see these teams that win championships the next year, they come back, the same guys, and they don't win. The reason is because they all summer they were enjoying the win, and they weren't focused on getting prepared for the next season. You know, like when I was playing in high school, we'd go in the locker room after the game, and coach said, "That's a nice win, boys. Enjoy it for the next 6-7 hours, because tomorrow, when we come here tomorrow, that don't count. We start all over again. You're zero." You know, and we need to realize that if we want to be successful, we can't dwell on the past. You know, Dennis Waitley said, "Don't dwell on what went wrong. Instead, focus on what to do next. Spend your energies on moving forward toward finding the answer. Train yourself to concentrate on the future that God has for you. You know, take control of your thought life. It's necessary to stay focused. Arrest every thought that comes to your mind contrary to the Word of God." You know, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you sure can keep them from building a nest in your hair. A thought may come, but you don't have to dwell on it. Kick it out. You know, if you want to move into the future, there's some things that you've got to avoid. Number one, you got to quit thinking about the past mistakes. There's nothing you can do about it. I don't know how many times through the years in the ministry, people come to me, it just bothers me all the time. All those things that I did before I become a Christian. I said, they don't exist. Quit thinking about them. You know, Paul said, all things have become new. Old things have passed away. You know, and there's another thing we have to get a hold of. We can't allow distractions to get you off course or to redirect you. You know, the enemy will bring everything he can into your life to distract you from what the Word of God says, to get you off course. And in fact, sometimes in the natural, when we're trying to stay focused, there'll be distractions come. You have to forget about those. You know, somebody come up and they say, "Well, you know, I heard this. I heard this preacher saying this." I said, "It don't matter what you heard a preacher say. What does the Bible say?" Amen. What they say don't mean nothing unless they're saying what the Bible said. Now, many times, many people try to interpret the Bible for God. Well, God said what he meant what he said. He didn't need me or anybody else to interpret it for him. You know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, there's some other things you got to avoid hanging around with the wrong bunch. If you're trying to believe God, you better hang around with people that are believing God, that believe in healing, and that believe in that God can meet our needs. Don't hang around with people saying, "Oh, well, we don't know. You know, we don't ever know what's going to happen." Well, I know what's going to happen. Whatever God said in this Bible right here, that's what's going to happen. If you believe it, you know, and then sometimes you can't listen to the critics. Man, if I listened to what people say about me, I wouldn't even be up here. I mean, they say all kinds of things about me. In fact, I don't ever go look at it, but I had somebody not just recently say, "You know what they, you know, I was looking on the internet and you know what they said about you?" I said, "No, I don't care." Because most of it is not true anyway. They're taking stuff that I said out of context. And then besides that, I'm doing what God asked me to do, and I don't care. Somebody said, "Well, that's a funny attitude. Well, that's the attitude you got to get if you're going to get somewhere. I don't care what the devil said. I care what Bible said, what God said. Amen. You know, people, you say, well, the devil, he's been after me. Well, yeah, he's after all of us. But quit dwelling on him and go focus on God. And you sure can't hang around in a negative atmosphere and make it. Have you ever went in somewhere and the minute you walked in, you could feel it's just negative. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And, you know, and there's some people, through the years, I've met a few people like that. I see them coming. I'd rather go across the street than have to talk with them because they never... And Lord God, don't ask them how they are. Do you know, sometimes we ask people how they are, we really don't want to know. That's just a saying, you know. But there's some people, everything is negative. There is nothing positive. Right. Well, if you get with God, God's a positive God. Now, there's negativism, but we overcome it we overcome it with the Word of God. You can't stay focused on your past and have a successful future. You know, my grandson, he in Pee Wee League in football, he was quarterback. In fact, he was quarterback all the way up through the eighth grade. And in the eighth grade, he picked up a golf club. And the kid is a natural golfer. I mean, he beats me. He beats his daddy. He's 13 years old, and at the country club the other day, he shot a 76. Of you that know golf know that's good. I mean, I can't even get close to that. But when he was playing quarterback, one day I asked him, I said, Wesley, I said, you just threw an interception, and y'all turned around and got the ball back, and you the first play after you got the ball back, you threw a touchdown pass. I said, didn't it bother you that you threw that interception? He said, no, Poppy, that's past. There's nothing I can do about that, but there's something I can do with the next play. Amen. You see, that with his attitude, what he did wasn't bothering him. It's what was in front of him. That's what was important. We've got to get to the same place and stay focused on our future and not on what has happened. It's all past. It's all history. Nothing you can do about it anyway. And if it all happened before you was born again, it don't even exist because the Bible said old things have passed away. They're gone. You know, it's been pointed out, and I'm sure when you learn to drive, it was pointed out to you that you cannot drive successfully looking in the rearview mirror. You got to look out through the windshield. If you're concentrating, and now you glance up at that thing every once in a while, what's behind you, but you can't stay focused there. If you do, you run off the road. I see some of you getting, I get some head shaking. Some of the rest of you looking at me like, oh, what do you want? Well, just stay with me. Maybe it'll help you somewhere down the road. Maybe I'll say something that you'll like anyway. You know, some people are so busy looking regretfully at their past that they cannot concentrate on the future. Remember, your focus will determine your destination. Your focus will determine your direction. You know, what you focus on in your mind, you unconsciously move toward that. You always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. So that's why the Word of God says, renew your mind with the Word. So that the Word of God the Word of God is the dominant thoughts. When trouble comes, you don't say, oh, what am I going to do? You say, well, Isaiah said, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Yeah. We say what the Word says. You know, when sickness and disease come, you don't say, oh, what am I going to do? You say, the Bible said Jesus took stripes on his back for our healing. You see, champions focus on the direction they're going not what they've gone through, not what they've got. See, if you're going to be successful, you focus on the possibilities and not the problems. The problems are going to exist. John said that in his word, 16:33, I think it is, or 34. He said, in this world you'll have troubles and trials, but in me you've overcome, because I've overcome those. Now, if you're going to be successful in the natural and in the spiritual, you got to refocus on the reward instead of the risk. You know, if people try to believe God, it's a risk because, you know, it's out of the ordinary. That's what I mean when I'm saying risk here. Then you focus on the prize instead of the pain. Now, I had 3 years ago, I had a complete total knee replacement. Bonnie back there has had both of hers done, I think. And she'll tell you, and I'll tell you this too, when the rehab was painful, man, I mean, they put me on that bike, riding that bike, and you're talking about hurt. It hurt. But you see, I focused on the reward at the end, the prize, instead of the pain. Because they said if I didn't do the rehab, I'd be back in there to do an operation because of scar tissue and so forth and so on. Well, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm here, and there's a guy right here. We both had knee surgery the same day. And they put us on that bike. It was about the third or fourth weekend while I was in doing my therapy. And so I started, and oh, it hurt, man. Every time that thing come up, oh, it hurt. But I kept pedaling. Pretty soon it loosened up a little bit. And this guy over here, he is, oh, I can't do it. And he kept scooting his seat back so that the knee didn't bend very much. I kept scooting my seat up. You know, when it would ease up a little bit of pain, I'd pull my seat up. If you've been an old athlete, that saying, no pain, no gain, is the truth. If you won't get back on the football field, you got to go through the rehab. But you see, I focused on the fact, man, I could back 3 years ago, I could not walk up these steps without I had somebody helping me. And then the pain was so bad that I could walk down that I couldn't stand it. But the prize was I can run upstairs now, and I couldn't do that. You see, we have to focus on the prize of the high calling. Amen. You know, your greatest success is when you steadily focus on your future and the plans that God has for you. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:13 in the New Living Translation, Paul is talking to his son Timothy in the ministry. Until I get there, focus on reading the scripture to the church, encourage the believer, and teaching them. Here Paul was talking to his young preacher and told him what to focus on as he is pastoring this church. Now, if you do a little study, you'll find out that Timothy was pastoring the church, and there was problem in the church. And because there were false teachers and false doctrines and a bunch of busybodies running around in the church who didn't work. And Paul said, listen, just focus, you know, stay focused on the word. Focus on reading the scripture. Focus on the word. Now, Paul was the veteran preacher. And he gives Timothy here some simple advice. Stay focused on the word. You know, when I was playing ball, be on the sideline, and I may be a junior or a senior, and you got these freshmen down there, and they're over there messing around. I say, hey, if you want to get in the game, you better stand on the sideline and see what's going on out there and see what's happening where your position, because if they need you in the game, you got to know what's going on. See, we have to stay focused on the Word of God. The enemy likes to get us distracted from the Word. If he can get us distracted from the Word, then he's going to win. Yes, amen. You know, we focus on how we feel and on our emotions. You know, it didn't make no difference. If I was to, I was playing ball, it didn't make no difference. If I had 100, in fact, I wouldn't tell a coach because I went and played with 102 fever one time. I think I played a better game because I was really concentrating because of the fact that I knew that I wasn't up to par. But you see, don't focus on your emotion. You know, I had a coach, John Fenderson. Coach Fenderson, he said, "Hagan, you know why you play?" I said, "Well, no, I play because I love the game and I give it everything I got." He said, "That's it." He said, "I can't depend on Jim because if he had an argument with his girlfriend on the way to the game, he said, he's all down. I can't do." He said, "Don't make no difference what happens when I call your name or call your number. When you step on that field, you give me 110%. No matter what you feel like, no matter who's mad at you or who's not mad at you." I said, "Well, that's the way my dad taught me. My dad taught me, he said, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all."
Amen.
And if the word is worth doing, then it's worth doing it right, or don't do it at all. That was his attitude. The word said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
You know, unsuccessful people sabotage their own success by giving in to their feelings. It don't matter how you feel, you still got to go. You know, I came straight back. Y'all know I came straight back from overseas. Been, you know, 17,725 miles, 36 hours in that aircraft, five time zones going and coming, across the international date line going and coming back, and got in on Saturday and was in the pulpit preaching on Sunday morning. Well, did I really feel like going up there and preaching? Not really. I mean, you know, my clock saying I needed to sleep and it was time to be awake. You know what I'm talking about? See, you can't give in to how you feel. You can't give in to your, go with the word of God. You know, I went there. I went because the word of God said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yeah, and then I came here. That Sunday night, I came right here, drove over here. Now, that's right, Jane. You can't go by feeling. Feelings and emotions will take you on a roller coaster. But if you stay with the word of God, you'll stay plain, stay on a steady plane. You know, he went on to tell him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and sound mind." He told him, "Hey, don't get in fear because of what's going on in the church. Stay with the word. Stay with the word of God." Now, Joshua took over to lead the children of Israel. After Moses died, God told him, said, "Okay, Moses is dead. Now you take these people and you go across this Jordan River and take the land." You see, Joshua was his assistant, and he promoted him immediately. God did. Now, his success was determined by what God told him in Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." If you want to be successful in life, spiritually and naturally, stay with the word of God.
Amen.
You know, I've told you this before. You know, when I was going to Bible college there and working in Dallas at the freight company, well, Sims riding that line, he came around, he's asking everybody, "Can you do this? Can you do this?" And all the guy, and all of us, we was breaking out freight, and there's two carloads of us that were from the school. And they all said no. He got to me. I said, "Yes, I can do it." Now, what was my basis? My basis is the word of God that says I can do all things. He didn't say spiritual. It said all things.
Amen.
That's what the basis of. And then he went on down the line. The guy over here next to me, he said, "Hagan, you don't know how to do that." I said, "But when I get here tomorrow at 2:00, I will." I said, "Besides that, I know a guy that works in that field. I'm going to call him when I get off here, or I'll call him tomorrow before I get here." And I said, besides that, we got a library there at the college. We, back then, you know, I'm talking about 59, 1959 or 60. I forget exactly which one of the two. And I said, we didn't have no internet then. I said, we got a library. I said, I can go over and start looking up stuff. He said, oh, you. I said, well, hey, you got to believe you can do something before you can do it. My dad told me that years and years and years ago as I was growing up. He said, son, you got to believe you can before you can. You got to believe the word of God before it ever works for you. You know, the New Living Translation of that Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be able to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Now, Joshua had to ignore a lot of things. He had to ignore the fact that that Moses had been the leader, and Moses is the one that had got him out of Egypt. And he had to ignore the fact that some of the people didn't, whether they were going to follow him or not. He had to ignore what the people wanted and do what God said to do. His keys to success was to stay focused on what God said. That's our key to success. Stay focused on what God said. I said it a while ago, but Dad said this all the time, and I use it in my life as well. The Bible says that I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
That was one of his favorite sayings. That meant that we didn't focus on it. I'd go ask, I said, Dad, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to do what the Bible says. We don't focus in on anything else. Not what people say, not what we feel like, not even what we want. We focus on what the Bible says. God wants us to be successful in our Christian life. He wants us to be successful in the natural. And he's given us an instruction manual. And it's called the Word of God. The Bible. Pick it up and read it, and you might find out that it'll help you. I just throwed that in. Okay. God helps those that will cooperate with him and stay focused on the word. Too often people are looking everywhere else in every direction, every resource they can find to be successful, and pay little attention to the word. You know, those kind of people don't accomplish very much usually. They can accomplish a lot more if they would stay with what God told them to do. To fulfill your purpose, everybody has a purpose in life. Everybody's purpose is not to preach. That's what I was called to do. You may be called to be a mechanic. You may be called to be a fireman. You may be called to be a policeman. You may work in a factory. You may work in medical somewhere. You may sit behind a desk somewhere. But hey, God, he wants you to be a success wherever you're at.
Yes, amen.
So the word of God will equip you. You know, many times, I mean, if you pray those scriptures over there in Ephesians, that I have the wisdom and knowledge. You know, I pray all the time. I say, all right, Lord, I don't know about this, but I need wisdom. I need understanding. You know, many times as I've been growing up, worked in many different kinds of jobs, but you can ask God to help you. You know, I know people that have worked in a factory, and something goes wrong with the machine, and they ask the Lord, and the Lord shows them what to do.
Yes. Yes.
I know Lynette does it, and I do it too, but if she can't find something, she says, okay, Lord, you know where it is. Help me to find that. Now, some people say, oh, that's so, I don't know whether God cares about all of our life, and he will help us. I pray for good parking places. Because most of the time, I'm in a hurry. I need to get back to the office. I got appointments, and I have to go pick up something. I pray for a good parking place. I learned that actually working with my father-in-law as his associate pastor. with him when I was with him for 6 years as associate pastor with him, he would always pray for a good parking place. And it'd been many times that I'm coming around in my parking place there and somebody jumped in ahead and run ahead of me. And I said, Lord, that was my parking place. Now I gotta have one, and I'd get a better one. You know, too often we don't really let God be in all of our life. We think so. We put him into a spiritual. Oh, this is a spiritual. He wants to be in all of our life. He said, I want in John 10:10 that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Not just spiritual life, life. It didn't say spiritual life. It said life. Have it more abundantly. We need to get a hold of the fact that God wants us to be successful. Amen. We stay focused on the word. And I already used this scripture once, but I use it again, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, the answer to success is the word of God. You know, now we need to realize what we can do and what God can do through us. See, Hebrews 12:2 in the new NLT says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, now is seated at the place of honor beside the God's throne. The Voice translation says, now stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross, ignored the shame of death, because he focused on the joy that was set before him, and now he's seated beside God on the throne and a place of honor. See, the important thing that we need to do is keep our eyes on what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Amen. Okay? What he did in the redemptive back through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he made all of life available for us. You see, God wants us to live our Christian life in light of what Jesus did at the cross. Everything we have, Jesus is the one. Because of him, we have everything we have. Without him, we don't have anything. You know, some people focus on their mistakes and failures. Like I said, the problem is they got the wrong focus. You know, if you could have done it in your own ability, then why did Christ need to go to the cross and die? We couldn't. We couldn't save ourselves. We can't help ourselves, but God can. You see, one of the greatest successes of our life, Christian walk, comes from focusing on the Word of God, focusing on what has been made available to us through Christ. Yes. Promises of God, right here. Every promise in the book is mine. The name of Jesus. Jesus told the disciples there in John, he said, up to now, you haven't asked anything by name, but after I go away, my death, burial, and resurrection, if you ask the Father in my name, he will do it for you. Then we have the Holy Spirit to lead, guide us. We have the supernatural power of God available to us. We cast aside every fear. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. You know, we looked at these verses. Focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, look forward to what lies ahead. Focus on reading the scriptures. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Those are the things that I said that we need to keep our focus on. And tonight I challenge you, if you'll make a commitment to keep your eyes focused on what these three scriptures say that we've talked about. I've talked all the way around the country about them. I can boil it all down in one little nutshell here. Focus on this one thing, Philippians 3:13. Forgetting the past, look forward to what is ahead. 1 Timothy 4:13. Focus on the reading of the scripture. And then Hebrews 12:2. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If we keep our focus on that, we're going to be successful. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I trust that you did. Keep your eyes focused on the Word of God, and it will see you through to victory. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that part of what we have said was for everybody. Everybody didn't need everything, but everybody needed something that was said tonight. Father, I pray that they would grab a hold of that part that's needed for them and make adjustments in their lives so that they can have a successful life with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.